First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew took it across.
There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah, right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Sinks the man at the 8 and dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast Post Game Show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is the live post game show after Game 1's huge win against the Indianapolis Colts. Remember, this is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I'm your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Chris, my balls are so far up inside me, they're tickling my throat.
mine too. All right, so a couple things for today's show.
Aren't up in my throat.
We will be joined by two other co-hosts today. We'll hear from them shortly. We've got our managing editor, Mike, the ambling bastard, come along for the ride. And also our new Central Michigan University intern, Brandon, the intern. He'll be joining us as well. A couple things about today's show. First, we're going to have a roundtable discussion with the four of us about today's game. A thrilling event it was. We'll also have Jeff Risden joining us for a quick conversation. And then we're going to open up the phone lines for you guys to give us a call and join in on the fun. It's a huge, huge show today. Case, you ready to go, my man?
I am fucking ready.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, you guys know how it goes. We start out with a couple announcements. We'll try to blow through these pretty quickly. First off, our friends on Patreon, thank you guys so much for helping out. We got Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. James, Mike, Matt, Eric, Travis, Lucas, Joel, Bert, Nick, and of course, our first donor ever, Mathis. Thank you guys. Remember, bonus content will come at least once a month. We got some stuff in the works for you guys for September. Keep your eyes open for that. If you want to join us and be a Patreon donator as well, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go over to the right side and click on the Patreon link, and that'll take you there. Help us out with just a little bit of a donation every now and then. It comes out every month. You can go a dollar or more. And helps us out a lot. Helps keeps this stuff going, including this spectacular live show. Also, don't forget about Facebook. Facebook.com, The Detroit Lions Podcast. Facebook.com/ The Detroit Lions Podcast. And Twitter, which was quite active today. That's at DET Lions Podcast. At DET Lions Podcast, the best place to see Case with.
I have no pants, literally. I don't own any pants.
All right. And also, don't forget about a contest. Rating us on iTunes. You can also rate us on Stitcher and Google Play, but iTunes is the place to enter the contest. Win yourself a great Lions hat for your creative review. We're looking for something fun, exciting, and of course, with 5 stars. Go ahead and put that together. Tweet it. A screenshot of your review with the hashtag Detroit Lions Podcast. We'll be able to pick all those up. And at the end of the month, we will find a winner. All right, so a lot of stuff going on the show, a lot of stuff to talk about. I think it's time to go on in.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
All right, we got through all the housekeeping and announcements and open and all that stuff. I hope you guys like the new open for this year. That was a fun one to put together. First off, I want to talk about some of the guys that are joining us for this show. First off on the list is Mike, the ambling bastard. Mike, how you doing? Tuning in from Nottingham, right?
I am indeed, Chris. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Great, great. How was your experience over there for the game today?
Tense. Very, very tense. I think that's a fair one-word answer, if you don't mind.
That's all right. Also, we're being joined by Brandon, the intern. How about that, man? We're so legit. We got an intern from Central Michigan University. Brandon, how are you, my man?
I'm doing all right. I'm just trying to recover from the
Oh, shit.
Wow, Brandon's having some audio issues.
That's an intern move right there.
probably hard to talk through the noise of the coffee machine. So we'll get back at it there. Brandon, see what you can do about your mic, my man, and we'll try to get this worked out. All right? All right, so let's start off. Let's get right into the game now. Let's talk about it. It was an up and down emotional roller coaster. My wife left at one point after the second three and out in the third quarter, and I can't watch this, and ran gas and stuff for the week and all that, and then came back and we had just scored and she was like, okay, we're back at it. And 5 minutes before the game ends, I head up to the studio, start firing everything up, and she was just a mess. She was absolutely a mess. I can't watch this. I was like, I know, babe. I feel the exact same way. It was a nail biter to the end, but wow.
This is going to offend some people, but a lot of people today were talking about their 9/11 PTSD. This was my 2015 PTSD in full force, man, in full force. Like at that, the second they scored that touchdown at the end of the second quarter, I was like in full blown, like
panic mode.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm still kind of that way. Like we won, but like, I'm super not comfortable with it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, man. And you know, everyone was talking about the throwback to last year's San Diego game, and I talked about it in our last podcast. That one broke me. I mean, that one really, it still hurts today.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then re-experiencing those feelings, it was just, it was horrific. But anyway, enough about me, Case. Give us a breakdown. Let's hear what you have to say about today's game.
Well, I mean, the first thing that pops out is that this offense is good. And Matthew Stafford is good in this offense. Like, I was kind of like, if we lost this game, I was kind of waiting to hear if the Stafford haters out there had some way to twist this to like make it his fault. Zero turnovers. I know that every pass wasn't great, but talk about like completion percentage compared to Andrew Luck. And we're talking about a game where Stafford was crisp as fuck. Three touchdowns, zero interceptions, 300 plus yards. There wasn't a pass that he threw that should have been intercepted. So like that's probably my number one biggest takeaway from this game is that this offense surprisingly is probably the better of the two units.
Yeah, you make great points. Let's roll the microphone around the table over to Mike. Mike, the ambling bastard, you crazy bastard. You, what do you think? What's some of your takeaways from today's game?
It was a mixed bag from my point of view, Chris, a real mixed bag. On the plus side, if you look back to the San Diego game 12 months ago, I forget now how many times Stafford got hit, but he was sacked once from memory this game. Mm-hmm. That's a huge improvement. I'll take that as a step forward without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a run game. That's nice.
Yeah. If they used it a little more, it would be nice, but it was there nonetheless.
It would, but we're still in week one. So, yeah. Obviously we are in proper real football now at last, at long, long last. But yeah, it's a step forward as far as I'm concerned. The O-line went sort of kind of shitty for the second half, which sucked.
It really was tale of two halves for them, wasn't it?
It was. It really was. The secondary, well, that's a subject for discussion amongst all of us, I think. And I'm guessing we're going to get a few calls discussing what was going on in the backfield because there were some disastrous holes in our coverage. Mm-hmm.
In particular that I'd like to pick on, but we'll get there.
Okay, cool. I think I've got a good guess on that, who that would be. Final positives from me. Three individuals who I've been keeping a lookout for. Tyron Walker came back. Very pleased to see he seems to be back fully fit because that was a terrible injury that he had last year. Yeah. Theo Riddick. Theo, I love Theo Riddick. That was awesome. Awesome player. You can keep
some apologies to make. I have some apologies to make on that topic, but I'll do that later too.
And surprise defensive player for me, Kerry Hyder.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he had a, was it second quarter? He had a beast of a session in that
two
one.
Two sacks in that one quarter in two consecutive, I think it was one in two consecutive drives or something like that.
He was yeah, literally a two half split as well. His first half, he looked great. And the second half, he kind of disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. We'll get it. I think we can get deeper in the DL stuff in a minute.
For sure. All right, we're going to give Brandon another go here. Let's hope it was just some connectivity issues. Brandon, what do you think? We'll pass the microphone to you. Let's hear what you think about the game.
Well, I would say the offensive line did surprisingly well. I mean, yeah, we were able to create running holes, which is really nice to see. It's nice to see us able to not just strictly throw the ball and force stuff out. We can actually give our offense some breathing room. And to see Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah back out, it reminded me of Joique Bell and Reggie Bush a little bit, where we have two tandem backs that can both receive and run the mm-hmm. ball pretty well. Mm-hmm. Along with that, a big question mark for me is DeAndre Levy, who are you? I thought you were this 2014 monster with great coverage skills, you know, great tackling skills. And today you get a stupid penalty for taunting.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Well, two coverages and you allow a touchdown. I don't know who you are anymore. I thought you were someone great. I mean, he still is a good player, but is he really worth this much money now, or was this just a hiccup? I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, he definitely seems to be more expensive than he was when we signed him. And you gotta think, if you're Levy, that hit, no flag, you got away with it, right? And even if it was legal, it was right on the edge. You get away with it, just put your hands up and get the hell out of there. Don't jaw. Don't do that dumb stuff, because.
And they were really going after him on the Colts sideline, but that's not an excuse.
No, of course, because you hit their quarterback, right? And that's what happens.
Yeah.
And that penalty gave him a field goal attempt from 40 yards instead of 50, which, you know, you're talking about a good kicker for the Colts, but still, that 10 yards there could have been trouble. And
it could have been a touchdown. Yeah. If Whitehead hadn't
been in that position for that pass to break that up. Yeah, it could have been a lot worse, and it could have been no points at all had he not gotten that penalty, because that would have been fourth down and they'd have tried to kick it at that point. So could have been a different game. That penalty is, I think, bigger than maybe what the stat sheet will show, but, you know, we came out ahead, so that's all right. You know, I was kind of pissed. Here we go again, right? First game of the season. The refs right there, right? That's screwing up. We get ready to do the hurry up there on the goal line.
Pretty sure there was a foot out of bounds too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, right. And of course the one guy's head is right on the spot where they can't get a review of it.
Right.
But when we're doing the hurry up, on the touchdown that Washington eventually scored, the refs just got in the way, wouldn't let us do it, right? And that's a new wrinkle in our offense, and I think that's kind of shitty that the refs got in the way. And then Washington's first carry, if you look at the replay, that was a touchdown. And I have to give a kick in the ass to the guys in our booth who are supposed to be helping out old Caldwell here, because that one, they should have said, get your ass to the line and snap the ball, because challenge that, because that one was way, that was a touchdown and we shouldn't have had to try a second time with Washington there. They also, the booth screwed up on the Ebron catch. That one, I saw that, the first replay I saw that, I was like, ooh, that ball's out, that ball hit the ground, get to the line, run a play right away. And we stood there and finally the challenge flag comes out with fucking 4 seconds left on the play clock. We should not have had 4 seconds left. We should have run that play and gotten past that. Luckily, it, you know, the challenge didn't fly, but still, we put ourselves in a bad position, and the booth should have been aware and should have made the call down the field, and they should have gotten in and gotten the ball off. So a couple of, you know, first week mess ups there, a little bit of refs kind of doing their crap, but whatever. I think, you know, the end result is good. My heart's starting to get back to like the normal rate, so I'm feeling okay about it. All right, I can think that's our breakdown. Let's move on to the next segment. We've talked about maybe bringing Riz in, and he said he'd talk to us. Why don't we kick in at talking to our man, the Riz?
Are you ready to get schooled? It's time for Rizden's Wisdom with the Riz, Jeff Rizden.
All right, we're going to get a call in to Jeff Rizden here. He should be picking up here.
Oh, yeah, it's Rizzy in the hizzy. He hates that when I say that, but
Yeah, probably rightfully so, too.
Hello. He said,
Rizden, how you doing, my man?
I need ulcer medication, guys.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Well, welcome to the show, the live post-game show. And what a kickoff it is to the season. Ulcers, heart attacks, you name it. It's the Lions poured it all into the first week.
It was something to behold. They had it won. They had it lost. They had it won. They had it lost. They had it won. It was, sweating through my shirt here.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you did too. Everybody was talking about the kind of throwback to last year's game against San Diego, right?
Oh yeah, it was inevitable. You saw it coming. My wife brought it up at halftime. She's like, why are you excited? Why do you think they're going to win? Did you not watch last year? And I'm like, yeah.
As soon as that touchdown
anything.
Happened, yeah, for sure. As soon as that touchdown happened, my heart sank like through the floor. I was just like, well, we're up 11 points, but 11 points is not going to stand. So,
no, not with this defense, not at all.
No. Oh boy. So it was exciting. Let's. I'm gonna hand you the mic here, Jeff, and let you just kind of break down the game from your perspective, because we all just kind of weighed in. So it'd be good to hear kind of what you think. And I saw some of your tweets, and definitely some hot takes in there.
Yeah, the main talking points I have, and I'm trying to organize my thoughts for post game columns for tomorrow. That'll be up at Sideline Report. After I write my 10 cents for a real GM tonight, which won't include the Lions. So I'm a little fried, so forgive me if I stray a little bit. My main talking points, Matthew Stafford was fantastic.
Yes, he was.
And our friend Kent Platt just tweeted out that he had 8 incompletions on the day. 6 of them were to Marvin Jones. 2 were intentional throwaways. Every other pass he threw got caught.
Yeah, how about Jones out there? And you're right, Stafford looked just on point.
He
today.
Did,
but
he really did.
Marvin Jones, he's a different man than we saw in the preseason. He could not hold on to a ball.
He couldn't get separation early on from Patrick Robinson exactly. Before he got hurt. He had trouble with that other on the other sideline. Couldn't get open over that either. It was Antonio Cromartie. Didn't go up to try to get a contested catch. Lost another contested catch. Mm-hmm. Actually, lost another one later on in the second half too. Not a good game for Marvin Jones, but man, when Matthew Stafford is dealing like that, he is a whole lot of fun to watch. Now, it was a simplistic attack. They did not attack down the field near as much as I wanted to. I mean, the Colts are playing stick figures at defensive back. I mean, they almost had to have their wide receivers go out there to play.
You're right.
The fact they were so injured. So I would have liked to have seen.
Four guys during the game.
They did.
They lost four defensive players during the game.
And three of them went down to friendly fire. They like injured themselves.
And you get it. You look at the Lions, right? You see one guy go down in the game and that whole house of cards comes tumbling down. How is it that we couldn't attack them down four guys? I don't understand how we could not come out on top there.
I don't know what the coaching staffs and I'm going to lay off a Caldwell a little bit. I'm going to put a whole lot of crap on Jim Bob Cooter, but especially Terrell Austin. They were both miserable coaches in the second half today.
Yeah.
Now they squeaked it out and Cooter got it together on that final drive. Although he needed Stafford to be fantastic in order to have it happen. And one of the talking points that I have for tomorrow is that Terrell Austin, once again, he does not coach with a lead. Well, there was no pressure. And one of the issues is that I don't think he understands the personnel that he has and what they're good at and what they're not good at. He was asking Tahir Whitehead to do things in coverage deeper than Tahir Whitehead should ever be asked to do. He was asking Quandre Diggs to do things that he shouldn't ever be asked to do. Now, maybe he can do them for a play or two, but to ask him to do it on a consistent basis, when you have the personnel that you have supporting them, you got to know what your guys do well and what they don't do well. And too many times, Terrell Austin, especially when the team has a lead and when the other team is in hurry-up mode, Austin doesn't do that for his players. He puts them out to dry in bad situations, and it darn near cost the Lions again tonight. It cost them in Green Bay last year. It cost them in San Diego last year in the opener to go back, and there's a couple other times too. All in all, I like Terrell Austin. But there are serious black marks on him with games like this. There was no business having some of the coverage calls that they had, easing up on the throttle on the pass rush. If you saw early in the game, they were running stunts, they were running twists, they were, you know, lining up wide nine like Jim Schwartz would have loved. Yeah. They were, and they got away from that. They started getting more traditional and stoic, and it didn't work, and they didn't go back to what was working, and that's very frustrating. Terrell Austin has got to do a better job. Now, I hate criticizing in a win like that, but it wasn't for Matthew Stafford being great.
Well, they put up 35 points. It's not wrong to criticize them when they put up 35 points. They looked fantastic in the first half until the very
final drive. Yes.
But you're absolutely right to not criticize. And I've been a huge Terrell Austin supporter, but I mean, to not criticize what just happened in this game for him specifically is my opinion on him is definitely in flux.
Yeah, you know, and I've talked about this all summer, the weakness of the Lions is going to be covering the middle of the field from about 5 yards to about 30 yards down the field. How do you get out of that? How do you put guys out of having to cover in those situations? You rush up the middle. You move the quarterback off the point. You know, you maybe chip a tight end as he's trying to release, which they never do. I'd like to see something like that. They don't try to mitigate their own weaknesses, and that's very frustrating. They also don't do this on offense very well. Where was Michael Burton when the Colts pass rush finally stepped up? He wasn't in the
game.
Where
was Michael Burton at all?
You know, it's one of those things. He's a good player, but I'm not sure that he necessarily fits what Jim Bob Cooter really wants to do.
Yeah.
I don't think the fullback has a meaty role in this offense, unfortunately. But he has
a roster position, though, right?
And that, he does.
That eats he up. Does. If he doesn't have a role, or it's so limited, is it worth a roster position to carry a fullback?
Yeah, that's something we can definitely get into going forward. I want to watch the game again because I didn't necessarily notice him, but I wasn't really looking for him either. So I don't want to jump off that bridge yet.
Yeah,
sure. Some other talking points I had. I loved the running game. I loved Reef and Decker as the tackles in the run game. Yeah. They weren't great. Reef was good in pass protection. Decker not so much, but he did okay. Yeah. But in the run game, both of those guys killed it. I'm going to guess that their PFF scores for the run game are both over 3, which is pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people don't put a lot of stock in what Pro Football Focus does.
This guy right here.
Yeah, well, they do a pretty solid job, and I would always look at what they do, not necessarily with their first read, but when they come out with their revised scores, although I guess you can't see those anymore. But I think you'll see positives there. I thought Larry Warford, on that the last touchdown, the screen where Riddick went in, he got out 15 yards outside the box and threw a huge block that sprung the touchdown. That's the Larry Warford we're going to get, I'm going to be very happy again. Lakin Tomlinson was brutal, and we need to talk about him possibly being benched for Joe Dahl, because there's no way in the world Joe Dahl can be any worse than Lakin Tomlinson. His feet are set in stone. He darn near cost the Lions the game on that one drive by getting beat way too easily by scrubs, by absolute scrubs, 2 plays in a row. You cannot have that happen. So that's another thing that we have to look at going forward. Sam Martin had a phenomenal game. He earned his contract extension.
Yeah, man.
You guys know I love Sam Martin.
When they got that ball out of the 6-yard line, oh my God, I was just going nuts. So yes.
So that made me very happy. I was very happy for Sam, and I was happy that a lot of the national writers picked up and hey man, this guy's really good. It's nice to see him get some love. And I make no secrets about it. If I get another Lions jersey, it's going to be a Sam Martin jersey because he's a great guy. He's a personable guy. He's one of the leaders on the team, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. He's one of the voices that really does carry some weight in the locker room. And I was very happy for that. And I was actually just talking with somebody on Twitter about this. Was Stafford's leadership, where he stepped up, where he's getting into Eric Ebron's face, where he's getting at Marvin Jones.
Oh God, he was so mad at them for not
get your ass out of bounds. I love that.
I definitely did too. I'm so glad they showed that on replay too. It was great. He was so pissed.
We have been waiting so long for Stafford to become that guy. And I think people around the nation who have been critical of him have always had that in his pocket. Well, it just seems like he doesn't give a crap. Well, you cannot make that argument after watching that rally today. And I hope that the national narrative isn't that, you know, this Colts defense is so bad that, you know, it was Stafford. It was inevitable that he would win. That's not the case. Yes, they are bad. And they are bad, but, yeah, Stafford was really, really good. And I think we saw him continue where he left off last year. I think the short range passing game that's based on accuracy, based on timing, based on setting guys up to run after the catch, I think it works. I think the personnel worked very well with it. It's a well-conceived team and around him, and he executed it very well today. But man, it was great to see him pull out a win like that and do it over Andrew Luck, who you guys know. I've often compared Luck and Stafford. They're basically the same guy in terms of what they've done and accomplished. Mm-hmm. But the hype level on these guys is so divergent. Hopefully this will help ease that out a little bit, because you saw Andrew Luck. He was not good in the first half. It was like watching Matthew Stafford in some of those games where, you have those three drives in a row where he goes three and out and isn't close on a couple of his passes. And he just goes over to the sideline and sits down and nobody's around him. And he's just like, I'm the quarterback of this team. I should probably play better. I saw that from Andrew Luck. And I hope that people who pay attention to these sorts of things and get paid a lot more than I do to write about them start picking up on this. It's time for Stafford to at least get the credit that Andrew Luck does, the alternate is that Andrew Luck finally starts getting lowered down to the tier where Stafford is, which is probably where he belongs. And that's probably a more accurate way that it's going to happen.
Well, because you won't see him elevate Stafford until he gets those playoff wins. And
you know what? That's kind of fair, mm-hmm, kind of. Yeah, because Luck has done it in the playoffs. And you know, I go back to that game against Kansas City where he was the sole reason they were losing by 28 points. But then he got believe him, he rallied it. So,
yep.
Yeah. So
let me ask you something. One of the things, you know, the week one games are always really, really sketchy to try to predict because teams just haven't gotten it quite together yet. They're still, you know, they haven't really done anything in the preseason. And how much of the Lions right now do you chalk up to first game of the year, first game of the season versus this is the team that we have and we're going to see for the rest of the year?
I tend to lean more towards the latter, honestly. I think we're going to see a lot of games where both teams are scoring in the 30s. The defense, I hate to say it, they're just not good. They have pieces, but the pieces just, they're not well coordinated right now. And they have enough very exploitable holes that they're just not going to be that good. Now teams that try to run right at them are not going to fare very well. And I think that they snuffed out Frank Gore pretty well in the first half. Now, granted, this Indy offensive line is bad. You have to take that into account too.
Yeah.
But you know, it was nice to see Kerry Hyder chip in, but Ziggy Ansah, where the hell was he? Right. Did he even play? Did Devin Taylor play?
That's what I was, I'm wondering. Cause I know that their old line is pretty trash. Our D-line, I expected a heck of a lot more out of them and really didn't see it. Hyder had those bright spots in the first half, but didn't see, you know, we had pressure, but didn't see the hits and the takedowns that I really expected out of this group against their O-line. So I was, you know, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think if this is going to carry over and we're just going to put, you know, a solid wall around the opposing quarterback, or if this is just kind of the first game of the year and this line's going to get it together and start getting some more hands on the quarterbacks.
Yeah. I watched a lot of the Bears today against Houston, and their offensive line is garbage. So they should be able to exploit that. Minnesota, to look around the NFC North a little bit, played probably the worst of any NFC North team today and had the biggest win. Just because Tennessee is just god awful.
Oh yeah. Well, and Minnesota looked absolutely terrible too through most of the game. They're not going to get two pick sixes in every game they play. So.
No, they're not. And they also got. I think Tennessee fumbled the ball three times in five plays at one point.
Yeah.
They recovered two of them, but it was just it's a comedy of errors there. Mm. So there are going to be chances for this Lions team to light up some teams, but at the same time, if they don't get this defense going. If that defensive line is not getting pressure and teams can figure out that they can exploit the middle of the field like Luck and the Colts did in the second half of this game, there's going to be a whole lot of teams that are putting up a lot of points on the Lions, and you're going to see some pretty high overs on their game lines coming up.
All right. Well, Jeff, I know we only have a little bit of time this week, and we're going to work into taking some calls for you as we go forward. But I really appreciate you taking the time for us to break down the game and talk about it. And we'll talk to you again this week in the podcast.
That'll be great. And next week, I will love to take some calls. The night game makes it tough for me, unfortunately. But sure. I thank everybody for tuning in and for the attention. And keep supporting us. We love it. And go Lions.
Absolutely.
We love having you, man. Go Lions.
Don't forget, at Jeff Risden on Twitter. And check his stuff out tomorrow at Sideline Report and some of his stuff at RealGM.com. Good stuff. All right. We're going to keep moving on. We've got now the section of the show in which we were going to open up the phone lines and talk to you, the listeners. Give us a call. We'll preload these things right now. It's 248-782-8384. Area code 248-782-8384. Or if you want to use Skype, you can call us. Call Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast via Skype. And if you get the voicemail, no worries. You just kind of... Someone else is on the line, and we'll get to you. Just call back in a little bit. All right, let's get started. Let's head into Fansanity.
If you ever needed an excuse to drink, this is it. Time for Fansanity.
All right, so as the calls start to queue up, we're going to do a quick conversation with Mike and then Brandon. And Mike, these guys both have a couple of questions that they want to put out and use to kind of start some discussion with our listeners. So, Mike, why don't you start with that?
Okie doke. All right. Okay. So, from my point of view, I didn't get to see any preseason football because it was always on a weeknight and it always kicked off at midnight, and it didn't work out for me with my work commitments. So, based on today's game, this was the first time I got to see Marvin Jones take to the field. Looking at the box score, he leads the receiving stats in terms of yardage. Yeah. So he had 4 receptions for 85 yards with a long of 32. But that doesn't tell the whole story to me, because from the notes that I was making throughout the game, I counted 6 incomplete passes to Marvin Jones. And this is after, if I recall correctly, there was a lot of hype about Jones and Stafford have got awesome chemistry. This is going to be a fantastic partnership going forward. So, based on his performance in today's game, do you think Jones deserves his roster spot?
Let me answer this in a complicated way, of course, because that's the way I answer things.
It's quite a complicated question, Case. There's a lot to it, isn't there? So,
yeah, for sure. Well, okay. Right, absolutely. So, I mean, first of all, it's great that we have somebody who can, at times, receive deep. Because, I mean, that was kind of the, like, one thing that this team seemed to be missing, right? Like, and the percentage of passes that go to receivers who are, you know, deep receivers aren't necessarily, in general, as high to in comparison to receivers like Golden Tate, who get the vast majority of the receptions, you know, very close to the line of scrimmage. Now, I don't want to, like, okay, so maybe, like, I overhyped Jones, maybe a little.
Just a little, guys, just a touch.
I don't know how many people, like, have heard everything that I've had to say, but I was definitely, like, sold on him as, like, a wide receiver, a low-end WR1, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I was sold for him. And this game said that, like, against a good coverage, that's not always going to be the case. Like, he's going to get boxed out a lot. He's going to get – and he did, you know, I mean, there were a few of the passes that were sent his direction that weren't his fault. Like, oh, yeah. And that's the case with a lot of deep passes, you know. A lot of deep passes aren't the most accurate passes in the world, regardless of how we feel about Matthew Stafford. So there were at least 2, maybe 3. I'd have to go back and watch the film. We're just doing the post game of those passes where, like, there wasn't really a good chance for him to catch that pass. There were a couple times also where he got boxed out by the cornerback in a way that someone as physical and as big as Calvin Johnson wouldn't have been. Not to say that Calvin Johnson has the speed that Marvin Jones has, but essentially, hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't have the physicality to be the like true elite number one wide receiver at this point. And I want to make sure that's clear. But
I think it's an important point, Casey, that we can't, to be fair, directly compare the legend that was Calvin Johnson with Marvin Jones, because they are completely physically different specimens on the field, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah, I expected a lot more out of Marvin, though. I was disappointed, and I think this is just going to be a game one anomaly, and he's going to come back and be all right. All right, so let's move on. Brandon, so you have a question as well. We have a question on whether Marvin Jones deserves a roster spot or not. And then we have Brandon here, who's going to have a question that he's going to pose as well. And then we have a call coming in we're going to take.
My question is, the contract came out for Theo Riddick. He signed a 3-year extension for $12.75 million. And there's been no real information on how much he's getting paid per year. But a lot of people don't seem to like that we're paying him $3.25 million a year. So based off today, my question is, does Theo Riddick deserve that contract? And did we overpay for him or underpay for him?
Can I take this?
You can start, but the questions are for the listener's case.
Oh, okay.
You can go ahead and weigh in. Telling you how wrong you are.
Well, I'm just going to say that as much as I was wrong about maybe Marvin Jones immediately being an elite, you know, not that I said he was going to be elite number one wide receiver. I kind of did the opposite on Theo Riddick. I thought his production was going to go way down this year, and I think I'm way wrong on that. So,
well, it's early. It's one game, and he looked great out there. And I agree. I wasn't real happy with the contract. I was warming to it as I thought about it more. But you know, a couple games like this week. For sure. I'd totally be on board with that contract, and I could easily admit I was wrong at that point. All right. So
I hope I was wrong.
two key questions for the listeners. Number one, based on production, does Marvin Jones deserve his roster spot? The second question is, Theo Riddick, does he deserve that contract? What do you guys think? Give us a call, 248-782-8384. Or via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, and that's all one word. We'll take a call right now from Kyle. How you doing, my man?
Hey, guys, one second. I'm ordering my third Theo Riddick jersey. And it's good. Yeah, we're in. Yeah, I've got all three colors. Good.
So what are you thinking? That was a nail-biter today, wasn't it?
That was a heart attack-inducing nail-biter.
Yes, it was.
And I think last year's team, that game wouldn't have been won at all.
I won't argue with that.
I think that would have been a loss, you know, with 2 minutes to go, and we would have all been very sad. And sorry, I've got a little bit of a cold going on, by the way.
That's all right. You hanging out with... Oh, never mind. I was going to go somewhere I shouldn't.
leave it be, Chris.
Which is where I usually go, so...
Inappropriate area, yeah. But no, I definitely think Theo Riddick deserved that contract, and I think... And you know, you guys and I had talked about this a little bit briefly... But yeah, he looked very poor in the preseason, but I don't think they opened up the playbook in the preseason at all for him. And we saw a little bit tonight, of course, against a bad run defense, you know, what they were actually, what they had in store for him.
And that's absolutely true. You know, you can't, you cannot look at the preseason in terms of playbooks and expect to see what you're going to see in the regular season. Hell, the Bears offense looked a lot better today in the regular. They lost, fortunately, thankfully.
They still looked bad, yeah.
But they looked a lot better in this game than they did all preseason. I think that's a great example of, you know, how things look different when you open up the playbook for regular season.
Sure.
Yeah, most definitely. And the one position you can normally kind of get a gauge on in preseason is running back. But I mean, the Riddick runs that we saw in preseason were nothing like what we saw tonight. He looked like he had some vision.
Cuts.
Looked like he
knew
where he was going. Yeah,
for sure.
What do you got?
I want to say to deviate momentarily, the one run by Abdullah where there were three guys on him in the backfield, he changed direction and switched fields. That was a Barry move.
Yeah.
It was in the first half. I think it was in the first quarter But holy shit, was that a Barry move. There were three guys bearing down on him, and two of them got their hands on him, and he stuttered and changed direction and went back the other direction. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, Stafford had a monster game, but like not very quietly, but Abdullah had a gigantic game. He looked great before he went out.
Did anyone hear what happened to his head?
No.
No.
He came back later, didn't he?
Well, Riddick did. They both kind of went out looking a little dizzy. But
Abdullah came back later in the game and played a little.
Yeah, the one that we'd not heard anything back about was Cole Wick.
Yes.
Yeah, who went out having taken a bit of a whack. And yeah, I've done a bit of digging and I can't find anything about his condition at all. I hope he's not got a concussion. But
he was looking a little wonky.
That's normally something you have to wait a day or two for, you know, to get the full report.
Yeah, yeah. Riddick's stats, interestingly, put him at second place for both rushing and receiving on the team.
Yep.
On the team.
Yeah, wow.
So yep. he's turning into a bit of a hybrid monster there, isn't he? If he can continue that production, I think he certainly justifies that contract.
Absolutely. And I think Marvin Jones is definitely worth a roster spot and the money. I think he just probably had an off day. I mean, if you look at some of the ones he dropped, you know, he got a hand in front of his face. There was somebody tipped the ball. Like it definitely wasn't all on him. He didn't have a great night, but I agree with Chris. I think it's kind of a one-game anomaly, and he'll bounce back for sure.
I was actually kind of surprised with Marvin Jones not running out of bounds late in the game. I figured he's been in the league long enough to know to get out, and for him just to fall in bounds, I was like, come on, dude. You seriously almost cost us this game right now. But, yeah. I mean, like you guys are saying, he did well. Stafford almost threw an interception trying to test Antonio Cromartie coming back from that injury. That was a horrible throw, a horrible idea. Mm-hmm. But I think he did deserve his roster spot. He's doing well so far.
Yeah, that was a true heart-in-the-mouth moment, that near interception. Because that was one of the good takeaways from the game, is that we didn't give away any stupid turnovers, did we?
Yep.
We didn't have any fumbles recovered by the Colts, and we didn't throw any interceptions. And that was the closest we came. That was a proper, here we go. But no, it's all good.
Yeah.
Worked out right in the end.
That Marvin Jones not getting out of bounds, that was inexcusable. I have to say, that was absolutely horrific. And you're right, Brandon. He's been in the league long enough to know better than to be rolling around on the ground and not head out of bounds there. And even Ebron's play there. These guys, it's first game, right? Jitters and trying to re-remember how to play, I guess. But those are some things that they should have been, throughout their football career, they should have known those. Those should almost be muscle memory at this point. So not super impressed with that. Hopefully this was just a bad day for Marvin, and he's going to get it back, but it didn't look good. And I also thought that Tate looked like he was playing a little hurt still. He wasn't making those tough moves like he usually does. He wasn't cutting back inside from the sideline. He was just taking them out of bounds and tiptoeing around. A lot of dancing, but he wasn't hitting anybody. So I'm wondering how well he was going into this game.
Yeah, he definitely didn't charge as hard at all, like as you normally see.
Yep, for sure. All right, well, Kyle, thank you so much for calling, man. Really appreciate the call, and stay with it. Check out Kyle's work on Detroit Lions podcast. He's putting some good series together here, and we'll have more on that very soon. All right. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. And speaking of that, Brandon, I believe that your post-game article is up, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was up a couple minutes after the game, so go check it out on DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It's a good read. I promise.
Awesome. All right, guys, you want to give us a call? It's area code 248-782-8384. Or you can call us via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. So we're going to move on, do a little bit more of the conversation here, and give some folks an opportunity to give us a ring. So if I were to ask you, Michael, about Theo Riddick's contract, what do you think?
If I was to base my answer on his production in the Colts game, without a shadow of a doubt, yes, if he can sustain that, worth every penny. Look at the stats he's put up. He had 7 rushes for a total of 45, which, yeah, not fantastic, but we've had worse
pretty
running
good.
Backs with running stats. Well, yeah, I mean, you look at a proper, proper running back. Look at the likes of Barry or Adrian Peterson in their absolute elite prime, and they would put better numbers up on the board than that, I suspect. But for Riddick, that was a good showing. And then on the receiving, 5 receptions for 63 yards. I don't recall writing down that he'd had any incompletions or fumbles that weren't recovered.
Nope.
And what did he score? 2 touchdowns as well?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
So for a night's work, that's not bad going.
So, no, it's not.
I think something that Theo did that we haven't talked about yet was the last touchdown drive. He really put the team on his back. You saw him on the sideline pounding his chest. He was there playing with all of his heart and soul. And I think that's the kind of intangibles that I'd want to see from a Theo Riddick to really feel good. I mean, I want him to produce, right? That's what you want more than anything. Mm. But for his ability to take the team, put it on his back, and act as a spark plug and bring that energy, that was really great. Too bad it didn't bleed over to the defense, but luckily, that last drive carried the day. One quick question. Did anybody get nervous by the ladder play at the end of the game?
Oh, holy fuck, I was nervous. And how many of those were forward passes too? Like, oh, that shit drives me nuts that they let that play out while I'm sitting there sweating my ass off. Like, how I think at least 3 of the like 9 passes were forward passes. So.
Got Muff Muncher on the line. One of my favorite Reddit names, Muff Muncher. That's really awesome. How are you doing, man? I love your Skype photo. It's exactly how I imagined you.
I took that today. Hey, it's not a live game if you don't need Xanax, right?
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling, man. What do you think? You survived the game? Your heart's still intact?
That was rough. That was bad. I kind of am on the same side as Case. I didn't feel comfortable with the win, but I'm happy it's over.
Yeah, that's one I either wanted a win. I wanted a win more than anything. But if it was just a solid, okay, we were outplayed and that was a loss, that's fine. But this kind of nail biter razor's edge shit, it's getting old, man. I can't do this. I can't keep this up.
Yeah, I'm with you. But one of the things that I've noticed is I feel like everyone's kind of like talking down Amir Abdullah. He had 122 total yards today. He went 5 for 57 for receiving and 12 for 63. The 5.2 rushing average.
Yeah.
Amir kicked ass today.
Yeah, he did. I completely agree.
Yeah. I don't know who's talking down about him. I have not heard one bad thing about that.
Not bad, but I feel like his performance is being kind of played down, like overlooked almost.
Yeah, I'd say overlooked. Because Theo, right? Theo's the big ticket item. And you think about it, Theo and Sam Martin both just signed the big contract, so you're kind of watching them. But 100% right. I mean, Abdullah looked really good out there, and he's certainly a 3-down back. I mean, he showed mm-hmm. that he's got the ability to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I like our running backs for sure. But I guess with the Jones thing, Marvin Jones. I feel like some of those were kind of contested. A few of them, he kind of ran into the defenders. So I'm kind of with Case. Those weren't all terrible. Those weren't all, bad on him drops. But so I think he's still, I don't think we have enough information to say he doesn't deserve a roster spot, even as the number one.
All right. Well, I can probably go with that. I think it's definitely too early to tell.
I think we have probably more to talk about on that subject when we get into it on the weekly, like actual podcast, but.
All right.
All right. Hey, Muff Muncher, thanks a lot, man. We're going to get wrap some things up here, I think.
For sure, man.
And call it a show. But thanks for calling in. Thanks for being you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I love you guys.
All right. Love you too, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right. That's cool. All right. Let's take a look. We got one more time. We'll throw the phone number out here for anyone that wants to join us. 248-782-8384. Area code 248-782-8384. And you can give us a call on Skype at the name Detroit Lions Podcast. Of course, it's all one word, as I said, Detroit Lions Podcast. So that's where we land right now. Let's start putting together some final thoughts here. Brandon, why don't we start with you?
Well, overall, I would say it was a win. It wasn't a good win. It wasn't a solid win. It was just that, a win. I really think I want to see more from the defense next week. I don't want to see blown coverages. I don't want to see Tahir Whitehead just be horrible.
Oh, thank you.
We just signed you to a new contract and made you a starter, and you're not impressing me. So I want to also see the defensive line improve. Ziggy Ansah, your contract's up soon. You only get one sack. I mean, I'm not expecting 20, 30. But if you can, you know, do something more than just two tackles, I would want to pay you a good amount of money. But overall, I would say, once again, it's just a win. We've got to look into week 2 against Tennessee. If they have, you know, all these fumbling issues next week against us, that'd be fabulous. But it's just that, a win, and I'm happy with it.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, Mike, what are you thinking? Where are you at on today's game and a look to the future?
I'm kind of along the same lines as Brandon, actually. I'll take the win because it's a win at the end of the day. But did the team deserve it? That's a subject for debate, I think. We weren't consistent enough to, in my opinion at least, deserve the win. Made some terrible, terrible decisions in coverage in the defense. Looking to the future, I want to see that O-line more consistent. I want to see the coverages develop better. And particularly, I mean, Whitehead, yes, but Levy as well. I was expecting more from Levy. And yeah, maybe he's knocking some rust off because he did miss, to be fair, the whole of last season, a brief spell on the field. But, you know, for someone that carries his gravitas as a player, you know, his name carries some serious weight in the world of defensive linebackers. So, that's where I am with this. I think, we got the win. That's good. But there's some polishing to be done, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that knob needing some polishing. It could have been so much more out there. And there's a lot of work to do between week 1 and week 2, for sure. But, yep, at the end of the day, it is 1 in the win column, tied for first place in the NFC North. And you have a team that, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks from now, hopefully this is just a win in the win column and we're not thinking back at how lucky we are to have gotten it. And we've got this good kind of positive feel to it. Hey, Case, why don't you share some of your final thoughts about the game with us?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of what those guys said about the linebackers is probably what I have the most to say about to finish it out. I've been negative about Tahir Whitehead in the past, and I didn't want to be negative about him going forward, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to be until he shows that he... And his biggest issue is zone coverage, and that's where he got exposed multiple times tonight. And I shouldn't necessarily say it's 100% his fault, because there maybe should have been other guys like helping him in those coverages. But at the same time, like, he was the guy who was most blatantly at fault for a couple of the big plays that the defense allowed, the Colts to get. And he scares me. He really does. And Levy, I'll be a bit of an apologist just to say that I expect him to improve. The taunting thing sucked. Like, I expect better of Levy, even if the Colts bench was out of line to begin with. I expect better of Levy. Like, and to see that from him is weird, because we are so accustomed to him being like the level-headed guy on the defense. So like, that worries me a little. Overall, like I said, I'm glad to see the offense functioning in the way it is functioning. And as much as I love the yak attack thing, I do worry about our lack of deep threats, because you saw what the Colts did against us at the end of the second half and in the third quarter by using their ability to get deep against us. Well, I wish we had that sometimes. I love being able to control the clock. I love being able to get dink and dunk, and I love being able to get the yak attack going. But it's too bad we don't have, and I wanted Marvin Jones to be this guy. And maybe he will be, and maybe it's too soon. But I'm a little sad that we don't have the deep threat offense at all that I was hoping we would.
I think it's a fair assessment. I got two big things about the game that I want to talk about. I'll start with bad calls by the players. To hear Whitehead, I'm going to kind of soften your knock on him. He was looking really, really good in the first half, and he made two killer plays in a row, stopped the Colts dead, and for the most part was just killing people. Looked really good. He did at one point look like he got hurt a little on one of the plays, like there's something happened with his back, but he kept playing. There was a play, and they replayed it, and it looked like he had coverage, and then he broke off. I don't know if that was a zone, and there was supposed to be a handoff, and Lawson didn't get across the field or wasn't where he was supposed to be. Or what the defense was the call there, but it was either a Whitehead absolute fuck up, for lack of a better term, or it was a zone that didn't get handed off well, and that one really, really looked bad. I know Quinn was looking around like, what the hell happened just now in front of me, so I'm not ready to go all in on throwing the baby out with the bathwater on Whitehead. I think he had a good game in many ways and has some more work to do in some places. Levy, you know, I love this guy, but I'm down on him right now. His stock is down with me. The penalty was bad. He really didn't show up. Maybe he was frustrated as well. Maybe he wasn't playing where he knew he could, and it's going to take some time to get his body to move like his mind wants it, but I need to see something out of this guy. We have far too much money from the contract we sunk in him last year tied up here for what he's doing, and I would expect if we don't see something out of this guy this year and some vast improvement from here that we're going to see a restructure or release or something from that contract, because he's not playing at that level. Besides the players' decisions, one player who I think whose decisions were overall just spectacular throughout the game, Stafford, he just played out of his shoes. And I mean, while we talked about it, he was coaching Marvin Jones, get the hell out of bounds. He was coaching Eric Ebron. He coached earlier some of the players on the field as to what they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be running routes and so on based on things are set up. So not only was he playing well and making good decisions, but he was a good coach. Now, on the other side, the actual people who were supposed to be coaching, I was not happy with. On the second three and out in the third quarter, when it was second and 14 and we ran the ball up the middle, I wanted to go to my neighbor's house, open the gate, and kick his dog. I was so mad at that. That was a terrible call. And even though he gained 5 yards, it left us with third and 10, an obvious passing situation. Again, just a terrible, terrible call. You gave yourself no options. You backed yourself in the corner of that play calling, and I just absolutely disagree with what we did there. So that one made me angry. There was a call, you know, with the refs about possible holding in the end zone on the one holding play in the fourth quarter. I didn't see it. I saw Caldwell and the ref talking. I don't know where that ended up and what the conversation ended on. But and as Risden said, the defensive calls, you know, the questions out there now with Terrell Lawson. We loved what we saw back in 2014 playing with guys that maybe were better than we thought. Who knows? But last year, there was definitely some problems with the defense, and we're seeing it this year already. The calls are bad, and they're not playing real good. They either got figured out or just fell off the train in that last quarter. So a lot to work out. A lot of questions came out of the first game of the season. It's still a win, and those Colts are probably asking themselves a lot more difficult questions than we are right now. But yeah, so that's kind of my look at the game, and that'll pretty much do it for this show, guys. Thanks for joining us in the live show. I had a lot of people tune in. A couple of things. Remember, This show thrives on your involvement. So use the comments in the subreddit, give us feedback about the show, and let us know. Don't forget about us on Patreon. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and you can go over to the right side and see the Patreon link. Check us out, give us a click, and help us out. Help us run this show and fund all the stuff that we're doing here. Make sure to check us out on Facebook. Give us a like, share, all that kind of great stuff. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. All one word, DET Lions Podcast, because that's where Case goes to do what?
Oh, whatever. Anything. Literally anything.
All right. Don't forget.
All of the above.
Don't forget, you can give us a call, leave us a voice message on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Or, of course, via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Give us a call, leave us a message, and you can hear us on the weekly show that comes out every Wednesday. Also, we love those folks who go to the Amazon link on the website and help us out. Click on that link. It'll take you to Amazon, and anything you buy, they give us a little kickback. And you guys oftentimes can get yourself a nice little discount out of that. So DetroitLionsPodcast.com, over on the right side, scroll down a little, and you'll see the Amazon link. Click on that and help us help you. That's going to do it for this show. Remember to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, and it'll come inside your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go.
Come on, baby. Lions on three. One, two, three. Lions!